From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. House Republicans have decided to take aim at a new target, Americans on food stamps. The 2018 Farm Bill includes drastic changes to the current food stamp program, also known as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. The proposed change would mean dramatically expanding work requirements for food assistant recipients. Advocates of the SNAP program worry that these new requirements would make large numbers of Americans ineligible, resulting in more people going hungry in the world's wealthiest nation. Meanwhile, President Trump on April 10th signed an executive order on welfare programs echoing the work requirements. His administration is also reportedly on the verge of allowing drug testing requirements for some food stamp recipients. My guest is Jared Call. He is the managing nutrition policy advocate with California Food Policy Advocates. Welcome to the program, Jared.
Thank you, Sonali. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, and I should mention the California version of SNAP has a different name, right?
Yes, it does. And SNAP, the SNAP program in California is known as CalFresh. We love to add the prefix or suffix Cal to all of our programs here in California.
And Jared, how widely is this program used in California as well as nationwide? How many Americans are we talking about here that rely on food stamps?
Sure. Well, nationwide and California is pretty consistent. About one in eight Americans or Californians do rely on SNAP or CalFresh to help put food on the table.
One in eight? Wow.
Yeah, so about 42 million people nationwide and here in California, about 4 million.
So that's a huge number of people. And how do those folks, how are they eligible for the current program as it is? I'm assuming that there's some, you know, you have to show that you have a certain level of income or lack of income, rather, to be qualified.
Sure. So the program is a means-tested program, and it is the largest and most successful food assistance program in the country. And so to qualify for SNAP or CalFresh, you do have to be very poor, in most cases below about 130% of the federal poverty line. There are some policies that states can use to increase the gross income test to qualify, and that's actually one of the policies that is under attack in Chairman Conaway's recent Farm Bill proposal.
This is the House Agriculture Committee chairman who released the initial draft of the Farm Bill, the 2018 Farm Bill. So the entire food assistance program is encompassed in the Farm Bill, which is kind of a strange thing. Why is that? Just a kind of backup. Why is it even in the Farm Bill?
Sure. So, that's one of the things that SNAP, as a very popular and successful program, has always benefited from is a large tent of support and a really bipartisan level of support throughout its history. And so with the Farm Bill, the nutrition title, which it traditionally had benefited not just poor people, but a lot of people in urban areas, was paired with the other titles of the Farm Bill that really went to support agricultural producers in rural areas. Now, that has held together so far. We're hearing some rumors that there are some on the right from the Heritage Action Center and others who would seek to split those titles again this year, but we're hopeful that they'll remain together because that's worked successfully in years past to help get the legislation through Congress and to the president's desk.
So specifically, what is Conway and what are his fellow Republicans and him hoping to do with the SNAP program, which in California is known as CalFresh? What do work requirements mean?
Well, sure. So yeah, we are. I should just preface this by saying we are and our anti-hunger partners across the country deeply concerned about the changes that Chairman Conaway's Farm Bill would propose that if enacted would increase hunger and hardship by taking away food assistance from likely millions of Americans. And so you've mentioned these expanded work requirements, which is a huge change for the program. SNAP already does have very harsh work requirements that apply to certain adults without children. Who are working less than half time.
And you wouldn't know that, by the way, right, from listening to the rhetoric from Republicans that there are already work requirements?
Absolutely. It's something, a battle that we're constantly fighting to let people know that there are already very strict work requirements in SNAP. But what Chairman Conaway has proposed is to really vastly expand that requirement that households be working at least half time consistently or lose their food assistance. And so this would his proposal would expand that to all adults ages 18 all the way up to age 60. And include households with children as young as age 6. So that's really the vast majority of the SNAP caseload that's not elderly or disabled or, again, very, very young children. So Chairman Conaway has decided to expand those work requirements, but spend a little more money on job training and educational programs that would help qualify people to meet those 20 hours. But he would say that people who would lose their SNAP benefits due to these requirements have self-selected out of the program by not agreeing to do these requirements.
Essentially,
programs.
It's your fault if you're not eligible.
Exactly. That's exactly how he's put it. But the problem is the funding that's provided in the bill for these training programs is woefully inadequate. The number of people who would likely be exposed to these types of work requirements is in the millions, maybe as high as 3 million people. And if you just do some very simple math with the $7 billion that the chairman's proposal includes for these expanded education and training requirements, you can see that by some rough estimates that we've done, it would be as little as $28 per month per person to fund these programs. And that is vastly inadequate to provide any type of meaningful training or education that would help somebody actually get a job and get a better job and eventually get a career. And so what the Republicans are really counting on is this increased hassle and increased burdens on people who are already busy and already struggling to have to prove that they're working 20 hours a week every single month or be cut off from their basic food assistance. And so I think if you think of somebody who's already working, maybe somebody who's working in a low wage job, making minimum wage as a cashier at a supermarket or at a clothing store, and maybe they're scheduled to work 25 or 30 hours a week. Now, if their hours were cut through no fault of their own, they probably don't have any control over their work schedule or say they were to get sick and don't have paid sick leave, they would be at great risk of losing their food assistance for an entire year unless they could get those hours back immediately. And again, have to prove to the state or the county administering the program that they're meeting that work requirement. And that's something where, you know, people who have kids and are going back and forth from school and childcare and balancing multiple jobs, to put those kind of burdens and hassle in front of people just to get basic food, we think is frankly immoral.
How many people do you think this could impact? Is there an estimate of how many people this would essentially kick off of the food assistance program?
Yeah, so the CBO score didn't include estimates of people who would lose SNAP. So we're working with our national partners right now to do those estimates. So I don't have any really hard numbers, but certainly in the millions, somewhere between 1 and 3 million people.
So that's huge. I want to discuss briefly the kind of rhetoric that Republicans use to justify these actions. You hear a lot of moralizing. You hear this language about welfare trapping people. And the executive order that President Trump signed on April 10th used a lot of this language. Government dependence and the welfare system still traps many recipients. The welfare system has grown into a huge bureaucracy. It's just rich coming from these mostly wealthy lawmakers who just gave themselves massive tax breaks in the one major bill that they passed last December.
Yeah, I think you've really zeroed in on the point. It is particularly galling to see these proposals on the heels of a massive multi-trillion-dollar tax cut that went almost exclusively to the ultra rich and
right. Somehow the tax breaks don't trap and trap rich people into government dependence.
Exactly, and so these lines about being trapped in welfare that's rhetoric that we've heard particularly from Speaker Ryan for the past few years and even before he was speaker. Speaker when he was chair of the Budget Committee, and other Republicans. And I think one thing to just remind people is that SNAP benefits in particular are extremely modest. They average about $1.50 per meal per day. No one is getting rich off of, or even frankly comfortable off of these meager or modest benefits.
I mean, it's literally there to stave off dying from starvation. It's there as some luxurious food items that people are enjoying. They're literally there to prevent death from starvation.
Exactly. And I think it's also important to remind people that the SNAP benefit formula or calculation includes an incentive to work. As your income increases, your SNAP benefit decreases. For every dollar you earn in earned income, you lose about 30 cents in SNAP benefits. So it already includes sort of a built-in incentive to earn more through work. This idea of a benefit cliff where people would be disincentivized to work is not something that SNAP features at all. And in fact, there are certain policies that states use to smooth out that benefit cliff even more, so that if people do accept some extra hours at work, they won't be at risk of losing SNAP or having their benefit reduced. And somewhat ironically, or at least contradictorily, Chairman Conaway's proposal would repeal that state option. So on one hand, they're saying we want to get people back to work and support self-sufficiency. And then on the other hand, they're removing state options that do just that.
And then you have this news that the Associated Press reported that the Trump administration is considering a plan that would allow states to require certain food stamp recipients to undergo drug testing. What do you make of this?
Yeah, well, I think this is clearly just another way to stigmatize the poor who need help. When drug testing for SNAP and other programs has been tried in the past, it's been shown to basically be a complete waste of time and money. Very few people test positive. It's, you know, it's about the same as that in the general population. But implementing these types of policies is really expensive for states.
Maybe somebody should introduce a bill to require drug testing of congressmen and women.
Yeah, or you know, if we're going to be drug testing people who use public benefits, I don't see any proposals to drug test everyone who takes the mortgage interest deduction, for instance. It always seems to be the poor who are singled out for these types of stigmatizing policies. Mm.
Let's also talk about what the likelihood is that this farm bill with these requirements, these very outrageous requirements, will actually pass. We know Republicans have made no secret, Paul Ryan has made no secret for decades, that they see such program as anathema to their ideology or fundamentalism, market fundamentalism of personal responsibility, and that they hold different, you know, they hold the rich to very different standards than they hold the poor to. So it's not surprising that they've put this forward. The question now is, can the minority party, can Democrats stave this off? Are they united in their opposition to this?
Sure. I think we're very pleased as SNAP advocates to see the Democrats really holding the line and staying together. The House Ag Committee markup of the bill is scheduled for tomorrow. And, you know, we're trying to get the word out to our members of the Ag Committee here in California that this is a bad deal for California and a bad deal for the nation. And we'll see what happens in that hearing. But I think it's definitely shaping up to be another close vote on the House floor if it were to pass out of committee. And so we will be working hard with our partners in California and other SNAP advocates across the state to inform members of how truly harmful these proposals are. But we are pleased with what we've seen so far out of Senate Agriculture Committee leadership. Senator Pat Roberts of Kansas and Ranking Member Stabenow have come out very clearly saying they are not going to take the Conaway approach of forcing through some partisan bill, that they will stick to the tradition of a strong bipartisan bill. Chairman Roberts has indicated he'd like to get 70 votes for the Senate version of the farm bill. And so we're already reaching out to our senators in California as well to give them an early heads up that we'll need them to hold the line as well and reject any of these harmful proposals that would really just increase hunger and poverty at a time when we really can't afford to be putting more pressure on struggling households.
And it, you know, of course, the goal of the Republicans is to reduce government spending on these programs. Meanwhile, of course, everyone seems to unite quite happily behind dropping bombs on Syria or any other country that we happen to be, that we are bombing at this moment. Millions of dollars literally being burned up. and endangering other people. Meanwhile, there's just never enough money for these sorts of programs. Now, let's talk about the fact. I want to sort of end with a brief discussion on why it is that people use food stamps to begin with. Right? It's there are so few, or there's just not enough good jobs in the country that are well paying. These systemic issues need to be brought up. There are people who might be working full time at Walmart and are still not making enough money to be able to properly feed themselves and their families and have to rely on food stamps, nutrition assistance. Republicans don't seem to care about that, because if they pushed for better job quality, higher federal minimum wages, for example, that would be a great way to get people off of the, quote, government trap of welfare.
Yep, that, absolutely. And I will say that to clarify about SNAP spending, it is already decreasing and the caseload is decreasing as the economy is improving finally.
Right. But there was a note about some 600,000 people leaving the rolls because they are making enough money.
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of SNAP's design, is it expands at times of economic crisis and then contracts as people get back to work and earn more. But you've really hit the nail on the head, Sonali, with the idea of fair wages is really the way to solve these problems. It is shocking that in a country as rich as America, people can work full time and still qualify for public assistance for something really as basic and human as food.
And in fact, Lindsay Kosh-Garian of the Institute for Policy Studies wrote a great piece in The Hill about this. Forget work requirements for the poor, guarantee them a job instead, she writes. And this is exactly the kind of critical issue that doesn't get enough attention. The reason why people go on food stamps is because there just aren't enough good jobs around. The jobs don't pay enough. There aren't enough. There's no free universal health care. It's, you know, Americans are being squeezed from all sides. And I'm wondering whether you think finally that Republicans are going to pay any kind of political price for this. No matter how hard they try, Americans aren't buying that these tax breaks, that the tax reform law that was passed last year is really benefiting them. And Republicans should be scared that, you know, even their own base, many of whom I'm sure use food stamps, might get pretty upset about these continuing cruel policies.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw some of this play out last year with the attempts to cut people's health care, that people got very, very upset and from both sides of the aisle, and particularly rural America and some of the Republican base did express discontent with the Republican plan. And we think we could very well see a similar situation play out as they attempt to cut another basic need for struggling Americans, people's food.
Well, Jared, give out a website for your organization, California Food Policy Advocates.
Sure. It's www.cfpa.net. And you can also sign up for updates on the Farm Bill. And if you'd like to join the movement and help make your voice heard in support of struggling Americans, you'll receive some email updates with clear calls to action about whom you can contact and the message we hope you can help us carry.
Great. We'll post a link to your website. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sonali. Appreciate
it. Jared Call is the Managing Nutrition Policy Advocate with CFPA, which is the California Food Policy Advocates. We've been discussing the 2018 Farm Bill and the new work requirements for food stamp recipients. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find out more about us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.